I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
I'm April, VP of the cutting-edge sex toy company Hot Octopus, and I dedicate my life to the business of sex.
We are on a mission to teach you how to have hot sex, deep intimacy, and how to make your own rules for who you are as a sexual being.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast, your favorite podcast about sex. Woo!
And this episode is fucking hilarious.
It really is fucking hilarious. So, fun fact about this episode. So, Nick Scopes, he's been on our podcast. How many times did we say? Two or three?
This was his third time.
Okay, so he's a comedian, and he would come on the show and kind of be funny, but also he would ask real-life sex questions about challenges with relationships, pleasure from blowjobs, et cetera.
He was a vulnerable, sharing human.
We don't usually use names of people unless they're, you know, authors and speakers. And so he's sharing these personal things, and then he's like, hey, by the way, and he had his own podcast. By the way, we started a new podcast with Lisa Lampanelli, and we would love to come on your show. And April and I had no idea who Lisa Lampanelli is.
Well, until we actually were looking up all of the things. She's wildly famous.
She's wildly famous.
And wildly successful.
And wildly hilarious.
And exactly probably why she is so successful, because she was in retirement, though.
Yeah.
Well, you'll hear all about it on
the show.
You'll
hear all about it. But she was like, wasn't she on Howard Stern and all kinds of
stand-up?
Howard
Stern, she was on, she was on the Comedy Central's roast when they used to do roast. I fucking love those.
Yeah.
She was one of the...
Basically a celebrity comedian who, in the beginning, she's like, oh, great, thanks. You don't know who I am.
I know. She's like, way to do great on a celebrity. I'm like, oh, damn it. So I need to do research.
This is a combination of... So there's three of them. It's Nick Scopes, Lisa Lampanelli, and Bo. I don't know Bo's last name.
McDowell.
McDowell. And
you'll hear it in the... bio
and
me.
Yeah, or in a bio. Okay, and they have a podcast together, and this is a combination of them being fucking hilarious and talking about dating and relationships and sex, and also being kind of vulnerable at the same time, where we actually talk about some real shit, but they just crack jokes. And so at times, just so you know, they're comedians. Some of their language, I mean, their podcast is called Losers with a Dream. You'll hear the bio and you hear they basically talk shit about themselves, except for Lisa, because she's awesome. But they joke around a lot. And so a lot of our shameless sex content, we're not, you know, shaming people for their sexuality. And so they might say some shamey things, but it's part of their comedian, their comical act. So just so you know, if that's going to be hard for you, then maybe take a breath, or maybe this is not the podcast episode for you. It's not like super raunchy or gnarly. They're just like kind of making light of a lot of
each other too.
Of themselves.
Usually shaming themselves or each other.
Or Lisa shaming the other two.
Yes. And it's then not just directed at anyone specific except people involved in the show.
It was fun. We have fun on most of our shows, but we were cracking up because it was so much fun.
My face hurt from laughing so hard. We laughed the entire time. And we did record video. I don't know if we'll be able to use it because sometimes our internet or the interwebs out here.
We are putting more videos on our YouTube, though. So if you're not following Shameless Sex Podcast on YouTube, go check it out, because then you can actually see some of the imagery, the videos of our guests. But you will likely love this. We had a fabulous time. I love how Lisa said all of her holes are now off limits. She's 60 and she's like, I'm just done with sex.
Don't spoil alert.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Anyways, are you ready for a testimonial sponsored by testicles? Testimonial.
Don't quit your day job.
You're reading it though.
I know I am. But I was being shamey.
She's shaming me.
That's my nickname for Amy, is Shamey sometimes. That's just to be funny.
It's cute.
It's adorable.
Your nickname's just Chip.
I know. So here's the test.
Oh no, it's Schnicky.
Schnicky and Strippers.
Oh, Strippers.
I just want to thank you for helping me overcome shame around my own sexuality. I'm a cis hetero male. For helping me better understand my lover and her sexual experience, and for introducing me to a multitude of other human experiences that I otherwise might not have been exposed to. I could literally go on for pages. I left a review on iTunes, but I just wanted to add a personal note. P.S. OMG, yes, Uber Lube and Foria are amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Ooh, thank you, listener. We're keeping your name anonymous because we did not get permission to share it, but I love reviews like this. Actually, this wasn't a review. This is an email to us personally, and they said they did review us on iTunes, which if you haven't done so already, please do. We love 5 stars. It helps to get the message out there. But to this listener, I love when cis, hetero, penis owning,
9 pound, 4 ounce,
baby,
cis, baby hetero barrel.
Yeah. Are like, wow, this really helped me think outside the box and to pleasure the box in a better way. Power to the box. Yeah, I knew you're an awesome listener. Thank you so much. And OMGS, fucking awesome. We love you, OMGS. Uber Lube and Foria. Yes, 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 yes. And so much fucking yes. Keep them coming. If you want to send us testimonials, we love it, but we prefer them to be on iTunes.
I also,
or both.
I wanted to say, we get a lot of opportunities to be sponsored by a lot of different folks, and we choose specifically what resonates with us.
I just said no to 5 different sponsors this last week.
Because we want to only share what we believe are going to be beneficial items, products, whatever. So take our word for it. We're authentic as fuck.
Yeah, because we're like, we can't bullshit this. Well, yeah. We don't bullshit anything. We're terrible liars. Worst.
Not exactly.
Yep. We have a passion. We have a dream. And we're here to fulfill it for you.
So you ready for a sex question?
Yes, I am. Oh, yeah, that's me. Okay, cool.
Schnicky. We're crushing it today.
Thank you, Schnicky. So I've been hanging with someone I'm interested in off and on because we live in different locations for about 8 months. We've kissed a few times, and that's about it. I asked her on an official date, and she said she thought it'd be best if we remained just friends. We ski, and we climb together, and we always have a great time, and I'm not sure if it's just a timing thing. I'm down to be friends, and it's just been driving me crazy, though, and I now have to think what's best for me. I was thinking of calling her and trying to clarify things in a way that respects her boundaries while easing some of my confusion. Any advice on how to go about this? And actually, I remember the subject was friend zoned. So this is it seems like there's a connection here, but I'm in the friend zone. That's confusing. Another one is I realize I have feelings, but she said we're just in the friend zone. What do I do about this and how do I go about this while respecting myself and speaking to in a way to her that feels good, respecting her boundaries?
Sounds like he has a crush.
Yeah.
And
there's a connection there, but sometimes that's just, maybe it's, sometimes connections can be just one-sided where someone has stronger feelings.
Well, if they kissed a few times, but that's it, and it didn't go any further, maybe the spark wasn't there for her and she didn't feel like going any further. Yeah. Or maybe she valued the friendship so much that she was afraid to ruin it. So she was like,
yeah,
I'm good with just making out those 3 or 4 times, and now I'm going to just climb with you and ski with you, which sounds awesome.
How many times have you had experiences where, because I hear what you're saying. Sometimes you kiss someone, you're like, oh, I thought there was more feelings here. And then once we actually start to engage in sexual activity, I realize it's not here. I've had plenty of those experiences. Or even the first hour of hooking up with someone, like, ooh, it's here. And then hour 3, I'm like, nope, just kidding. And no, we're not banging for all 3 hours, just so you know. But being intimate with someone over time, over minutes and hours, I can see. Or even dates. Remember our 3-rule date?
Yeah.
Our 3-date rule? That the 3rd date, we're like, okay, make or break it. Like, am I into it or not? Or 3 years for relationships. But yeah, I've had that experience where I thought there was feelings and then we touched and then I realized that because there's a deeper thing there that happens, which is energy. You know, there's energetic connection, sexual connection. There's nothing wrong with you, person that wrote this. There's nothing, you're not wrong. You're not broken. It's not that you're not good enough. It might just be that this other person doesn't feel sexually compatible or aligned with you and that spark isn't there. And I know we can take that as rejection, which I've done for sure, but we have to remember that everyone has their own preference. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with who they prefer or who they're into.
Yeah. I love how he was in the last portion of the question saying that he wanted to call her and was trying just to clarify things and wants to be respectful of her boundaries while easing some of his own confusion.
Yeah.
And any advice on how to go about this? I think getting clear on what you want to say and doing it in a way that is coming from your heart, saying you honor your friendship and you are exactly this. You want to respect her boundaries and you also have some feelings there that you'd like to share. And is it possible that it could be reciprocated in the future? Is this only friend zone because of timing or because of maybe the connectivity piece, the energy piece, like you were speaking to.
Yeah, I mean, do you want the answer to why? Like, you can ask the why. You might not like the answer. And it's not going to really change anything because they already said they just want to be your friend. So how is that helpful for you? Like, it doesn't sound like you need to go change yourself just because this person doesn't want to be in a relationship with you or date you. So I don't know how important that is. Sometimes we want to know, like, but why? And then you might get in your head and think shitty thoughts about yourself.
Yeah.
And then think all women or all people think that about you. But instead, it could be more like your confusion is, okay, because I have a crush on you, am I still capable of just being your friend and doing these things? So it could be speaking more to that. So, you know, hey, it seems like we, you know, get along all these ways and we've kissed a couple times and I've asked you to, if you're interested in exploring more, you said that you just want to be friends. So that's kind of staying the fact of what's happened. And I either am not really that, I'm unclear if I'll be able to just be friends with you because I feel like my feelings might be stronger than that. Or my feelings aren't stronger than that, you know, aren't too strong. And I think I can still be friends with you, but things might come up. Can we keep an open dialogue about it? Or, you know, something like that. I mean, if the answer to what the why, I don't know. What do you think, April? How important is that to know?
Well, it depends on, I think the why, for me as a human, I'd want to know why. Like, why would you not see, I have feelings for you. Why don't you think this would work? But that's me. And I'm not saying I do things the way everyone should do them. I just need to know. And if someone were to say something to me like, well, I'm just not attracted to you, I'd be like, oh, I'm bummed. But I'm like, but that's okay. Because it's
such a much nicer way to say I'm not attracted.
Yeah. They're like, you're fucking ugly. I'd be like, oh,
that person can go fuck themselves.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'll sick Amy on them and my dog. And for me, I would want to know why. And do you risk the why destroying any chance of maintaining a friendship if the why is something that is maybe not something that you want to hear or hurts.
And I would say if you need the why, to ask for the why in a way that's not
not
pushy. Yeah, why? Tell me fucking why. And so you could say, I'm curious about this. If you don't want to answer, that's okay. But I'm just curious about this because maybe it's positive feedback for me or constructive feedback for me to take in for how I can navigate things differently. But please don't take it super personally because know that we all have our different preferences and it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you need to change a fucking thing, unless their why is, oh, you have stinky socks all the time, and like that's, you know, okay, that's helpful to know.
I live with someone, not a partner. I live with someone for a small amount of time that had the stinkiest feet I ever have smelled, and I was like, we need to soak those in some vinegar. And he was like, why? And I was like, because they
of these
stink.
Things.
I had to help him.
They're
out.
Like probably so he used to it. They had no idea.
Yeah, he was a work partner. Yeah, yeah. And I was like,
why?
It was very work partner, as in colleague. Yeah, it was a while ago. But anyway, that's a side note. But it could be related to smell. I was thinking about some people's. Maybe they're biological
pheromones.
Reasons.
Pheromones, exactly. Too. And that might not even be, yeah.
That didn't like someone because of their smell.
I have friends who love their partner's smell, and when they broke up, they still like their smell, but then when they moved on, they didn't like their smell anymore. So there's something to be said about that. And there's so much going on beyond what meets the eye, what's being said. There's so many things here, like hippy-dippy energy, whatever. It's real. So I'm sorry that it feels that you're friend-zoned. It sounds like this other person's been very clear. You can get curious, and you can set your own boundaries of what you need. And know that there will be some, and probably many people out there that you are aligned with. And this is an opportunity for you to go find them.
Yeah, or keep skiing and climbing.
Hey, enjoy their skis. All right, anyways, before we read a bio, we're going to talk about something that we absolutely love called Dipsy. So Dipsy, what is Dipsy? Dipsy is a app on your phone that has erotic short stories to get you turned on anywhere, anytime you want. That's right. You can walk down the street, turned on. You could be right here next to April on the couch with the headphones in, turned on. They have new stories, I believe, every single week, and everything from threesomes to sex with your yoga teacher to queer sex to BDSM, all kinds of things. I know I love it. It's got my motor running.
It's kind of like you're right there in the story too, which is what I love. And not only do they have erotic stories that can turn you on, I love the part that helps you sleep. There's a wellness side of it. So there's lots of different values to this app, and there's soundscapes that can help you.
Love soundscapes.
I'm obsessed with soundscapes. Like, I cannot go to sleep with that one. No joke. If you ever sleep next to me, then you'll know that.
Like me.
I'm Amy gets mad about it.
Shut off or put it in your own headphones.
I'm like, I love crickets. and for our listeners, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/shameless. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipsystories.com/shameless. dipsystories.com/shameless. Go check it out. Get your crickets on.
Get your well, and your sexy on.
And your I know. Get your sexy on.
People are like, so I'm in it for the crickets.
I love the crickets. It reminds me of my
sexy
Midwest
crickets?
Upbringing. We don't
what
get
about
crickets
erotic
out here.
Short story.
Now,
with
if
crickets.
There's a cricket inside your house, now that's fucking annoying. Just one cricket.
I just found one in the shower the other
that
day.
That was what my mom wanted to name me when I was born.
Oh my god! Yeah, you were going to name Cricket.
And now she has a dog named Cricket.
What would this be?
Now
she has a dog named Cricket. Cricket of Shameless.
Cricket Lampert on the prowl,
thank
rubbing
God.
Those legs together, making noise all over town.
Totally. That's so you. All right. And Cricket, will you read a bio for us?
Absolutely. Oh, comedians Beau McDowell and Nick Scopoletti suck at dating, suck at jobs, and suck at most things in life. But they're great at talking about their feelings and taking advice from their mentor and former queen of mean, Lisa Lampanelli. Losers with a Dream releases an episode every week and can be found on all the podcast apps. And be sure to follow at Lisa Lampanelli on Instagram because she is fucking hilarious. But first, this podcast is free to you because of our amazing sponsors like Satisfyer. Time to make pleasure a top priority, and having the right pleasure device will help you want to prioritize. Satisfyer makes beautiful vibrators and air pulse stimulators with cutting-edge technology that are super affordable. No matter what genitals you're rocking, if you're looking to play solo or with a partner, Satisfyer has something that will satisfy you. And if you're tech like me, they even have a new line of products that are Bluetooth enabled so you can pair your Satisfyer with the Satisfyer Connect app.
I've talked a lot about how obsessed I am with air pulse stimulation, and Satisfyer's Curvy 3 Plus is my go-to. It delivers the air pulse stim I love plus intense vibrations, all of which I can control using my phone as the remote. And last night, even though my partner was out of town, we played with some power dynamics and I let him control my pleasure using the Connect app, and it was hot. And Satisfyer is offering our lucky listeners 30% off any Satisfyer when you go to Satisfyer.com and enter code SHAMELESS30 at checkout. Again, if you're looking for one of our favorite new devices, go to Satisfyer.com and use code SHAMELESS30 for 30% off. Go get yourself satisfied. And now it's interview time. All right, everyone, it is episode time, and we are here with the Three Stooges.
You yes!
You probably have already heard this before. So when we get on the air, and this is where we were not recording yet, we test some things, we have conversations, and we've been laughing already for the first 5 or 10 minutes. We probably should have recorded.
My face hurts.
No, already we should have been recording.
But we've never done this before with 5 people total.
2 screens, 5 people. One who's running the show, who I call Batman, who's Lisa Lampanelli.
I mean, way to make a comedy legend feel good. Thanks, ladies. Hi, I've spent 30 years on television, so thank you. I now feel like the Leif Garrett of comedy. Nobody remembers him either. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I'm retired.
Who is Leif Garrett? Was he the guy from The Office that played...
No, this is a guy who's probably dead at this point, who was big in the 70s.
Okay.
That's why.
We're way off.
I'm right up there with Aaron Moran from Happy Days. Totally forgotten by all the hot chicks in town.
Oh, no. I would say, what were we saying on our podcast earlier? We're like, fucking millennials. Was that this one already?
No, she said she was in the millennial sandwich.
Oh, millennial
sandwich.
That's okay. You're allowed to. You're both hot chicks who talk about sex. You're allowed to do what you want. I'm a 6-year-old broad who's doing a podcast with these two freaking loser millennials. So who's really got something going on? The two of you. Not me. So, God bless.
Yeah. You know, you totally do. Well, I was saying before this, I was like, what? How? So Nick and Bo over there, they really scored the jackpot over there bringing Lisa on. We're like, what? Okay, let's start with the story. How about the story? I was telling April that I Googled you and I saw a comedian, da da da, but also something about human sexuality. There is some sort of emphasis or specialty of yours, and you're a comedian that's really well known and famous. Anna, how did you all get together? How did you get your start? Like, what's going on over here? And why are y'all here to talk about sex today?
I know. I have no idea why I'm here to talk about sex, because I have been, and I think it's a unique perspective, probably, because I have been celibate for the past, I think, 12 years, and I have never been happier. Because the fact is, once you hit menopause, you stop feeling like you have to fill the hole literally and figuratively with men. So I think it's very interesting perspective that every time I do a podcast with people under 60, they're like fascinated that I don't need sex anymore. I feel like as a woman with sex, it always was like Christmas Day. It happened once a year and there was always a big mess to clean up afterwards. So I don't feel like it's anything that I really ever enjoyed that much. All I ever got was a freaking pinched nerve in my neck and a UTI. So I said, we're closing up shop. Lisa is not having sex at all ever again. And I'm really happy to have these millennials on board who want to have sex with everybody and they don't.
So tell us, Nick's been on our show before, who is sitting on your left when we're facing you. And then we have Bo. Can you all also, Nick's been on our show twice?
He was a comedian who was also just being himself, asking sex
who
questions.
We were taking dating applications for a little while.
And his sex questions were like, God, I can't orgasm from a blowjob. Yeah. And all these things.
And then Bo was like, why are we talking to you so much? What's going on?
You didn't know that? Oh my gosh.
I'll tell you how we met, because, and it will factor into what you're talking about. I met Nick and Bo because I have a niece who said, hey, can you go see my friend Bo McDowell do comedy? I, of course, thought, oh my God, he's going to be horrible and I'll have to just tell him that his dream is over, go back to working at Indeed. But I actually saw him and I thought he was really, really good. And for a beginner, you know, this is a couple years ago. And then I sat down with Nick and I thought his buddy and I thought they were both pretty good. But here's the deal. As guys in their 30s or below, I was shocked by how deep their conversations went. I was really impressed by how vulnerable they could get just sitting around talking about things like acceptance and vulnerability and, you know, fear of success and all these big, big issues. And I said, that's a podcast. So that's when I said to them, let's do a podcast called Losers with a Dream, which thankfully has been going really well and taking off a bit and getting on the charts. And I was like, oh, there are actually men, straight guys, who can talk deeply about these things and not just be bro-y and surfacey. So that's how the whole thing came together, that now I'm stuck with these two mental cases because the podcast has started to take off. So now it's too late. And I keep getting sucked back in. Now they're both very funny guys, but what I like about working with them is it does go deep and it doesn't stay just, hey, so I was fucking this chick. It's like, they know I won't allow it. They know it's base bullshit. And they really have to talk about relationships and loves and things. And of course, they're both sadly sexual beings that make me want to throw up when they talk about it. But I'm open to it.
Is Nick still obsessed with blondes and only blondes? Because that was your thing for a while.
Bo, Nick, go ahead, talk. It makes me sick.
Blondes? No, Bo, I've branched out. Yeah. I've branched out. I'm over blondes. No, I'm, you know.
Oh,
I'm
you're just, done with that.
Great way to be deep and inclusive, you freaking douchebag. Like, think about it. Think how horrible, ladies. I'm sure you're both professionals. I listen to the podcast. I think it's fantastic. I really enjoy it. How awful is it to like limit yourself to one hair color? I mean, it's just very surfacey. And that's why I'm really glad that these guys are kind of meeting women, going deep in conversation with them and figuring out, hey, before I stick it in, I'm going to figure out if I like this broad. So I like that.
I love that. So, okay, I have a question for you. Now that all your holes are closed up for business and you're happy,
if you were in your
30s and you met these two jokers over here, as you call them, would you bang them?
Well, here's the deal. My 30-year-old self had very low self-esteem, so I would have to say yes. I feel they both have nothing to offer. No, seriously, I think the 30-year-old self, I in my 30s was very attracted to like mob types. Like I always dated guys who pretended to be mafia'd up, but were just fat. I mean, it's like you're either in the mob and fat or just fat, and I got the fat ones. So, which is nothing wrong with that. I like some girth. Just don't let the guy get on top. That's all I'm saying if he's over 300 pounds. So ow. I did like that mob mentality. What are you laughing at, buddy? So, I probably would have been friends with these two idiots, but they wouldn't have given me the time of day either. Because trust me, they're shallow as F and they want something else. They banged me for my connections in comedy so I could get them on The Tonight Show. But that's about it. They'd go, oh, we got on The Tonight Show. Bah, bitch. I know.
Oh, shit.
I know, right, where so you're
you would
from.
Bang, but it would
But that explains the gif that Nick sent me then of Tony Soprano when I was like, we're so excited because the mafia,
there you
that
go.
All comes together
oh.
now.
Oh. Well, I think so. Bringing it to, let's keep this whole thing comedy, but I'm going to bring it to a serious point about like the younger self and the insecurities. And so and we have these two wonderful gentlemen here who we were calling douchebags here and just for fun because y'all said that first. And yourself, and we're all speaking at our younger selves and insecurities and how we have to learn to discover more about ourselves. And then we come to this place. And so cause some people are listening to you and you're like, you know, all my holes are closed and I'm happy. And they're like, but how is that possible? You know? And so, and I would say like, we all have our own personal choice of, you know, how we want to approach sexuality. But let's bring it to like how, I mean, again, you can joke as much as this doesn't have to stay serious, but sure. How along your path, why is human sexuality, why is that showing up in your title there? Why is it something that is important to you? Why? What have you learned about yourself now? And like, why is it, you know, being so comfortable with all my holes are closed? Why, yeah. You know, why is that? Why do you think that it takes time
fucking
and
Judge
energy?
Judy laying down her gavel over here.
Well, and also, right. And for these guys too, like, you know, I'm sure that when you guys were 19, you were a whole different dude who probably weren't, you, it was not speaking about vulnerability and all these things. And again, crack as many jokes about this. I'm just going to bring it to that place and then let's have fun.
Oh no, I love the serious question because honestly, I had been, you know, I think because of my upbringing, my first little boyfriend was aged when I was like 12 and I was a very late bloomer as far as sex. You know, I was raised Catholic, very strict. And I don't think I lost my virginity till, like I've said this on our podcast, I think 21 or something, because back then you just didn't, you know, I'm 60 years old. That was not something you did. So, I though had developed such codependency between 12 and 50, I hardly went a time without a boyfriend. And so I was a serial monogamist. So I took about a year and a half off. I went to codependency rehab. I went to this codependency workshop. And I was like, wait, I have to see who I am alone. And I ended up really liking it. And I just remember after that rehab, I said, wow, I will never date a terrible guy again. And thank God, you know, the guy, I didn't get married after that, after a few years. And we're divorced now, but we're such good friends still. And I go, wow, I never did attract anyone bad again. I just knew how to say no to the wrong person. So I think as far as sex goes, I joke a lot about, you know, not having sex and stuff. I think it's where I go, well, I'm for the first time in the last, you know, 60 years. This is the last few years is the first time I've really been alone. And when you don't need a partner, I think you figure out that it's not the be all and end all, at least not for me. Like my focus now is like, oh my God, just developing a better self, developing friendships and family. I mean, being a comic, traveling around the world for like 30 years, it's hard to make connections meaningfully at home and with family. And you just go, ooh, maybe that's the time to work on this now. So who knows? I never say never. Who knows? I might hit 80 and start spreading my legs to some old dude, but you know, or some young dude, not these idiots, but you never know. And I think we change over the years.
Is sex with self off the table too? Or is
Are you baiting over there?
Are you getting the bait on? Are you
no, and I'll tell you why. Here's what I think happened. Okay. And I had said this on when I announced my stand-up retirement on, I was on Howard Stern's show. I was a regular on Stern quite a bit in the day. And I had said, I think once you go through menopause and you're very content being alone, those urges get so low that it's like, it never occurs to me. Like literally, if you said to me, do you want to study to be a lawyer? That's where It's the same answer. Do you ever want to have sex again? I never think about these things. So I think it's age plus hormonal status.
It's like not sexy to even think about it. Okay.
Ugh, no.
I see.
But
okay.
Companionship is cute. Friendship is cute. I still love a love story. I love a love story on TV or like in real life. Like Bo right now is like all in love and stuff. And I like love hearing about how cute that is. And I'm just like, oh, this is really nice to be emotionally open to hearing about love and not be bitter against men. But also I don't have to act on it until maybe someday if it becomes organic and real.
This is actually an angle that we've never thought or discussed on our podcast, never thought about, because it's a choice, right? You're obviously, you've made a choice, right? This is not something that you're like, I'm asexual. I'm not, this is not my sexuality. It's just closed. You're saying I'm making a choice. I am choosing not to have sex right now. I'm exploring other relationships. You're kind of like holding in the chi, as we say in California, keeping in that. I'm going to hold in the sexual chi. Oh my God, the first person that you fuck. I mean, I want a video.
I mean, so I don't think that's going to
be amazing.
Part of me thinks it's just not what I'm here for. Like, I honestly think I was so driven by lack, meaning, you know, just because of my upbringing, just going, oh God, I have to feel protected by having a guy in my life or whatever. That now I'm like, oh my God, on my own. My sister-in-law actually said this to me a few years ago and I was just so flattered. She just goes, I've never seen anyone so good at being single as you. She goes, you just love every second because the guys seemed like a burden, you know? So instead of dating and having guys as a burden, I take on these two dummies and do a podcast. So they're enough of a burden for me right now. That's how I feel.
And wait, and what about exploring vulva owners or maybe others?
Never did
non-penis owner.
It's real weird.
Well, I just...
I know. No, I totally get that. I totally get that because I have the haircut. I mean, come on. I was just in L.A. And when you pass the Warner Studios, how there's those enormous posters of all the TV shows. And I saw that Ellen and I have the same exact haircut. Mine's cooler because it's blue. But I go, boy, everybody thinks I'm a rug muncher. But God bless. Who cares? It's all good. Let everybody do what they want. I have lots of lesbian friends. I got a lot of gay men friends. And I'm like, that's cool. A lot of gay guy friends. I mean, it's very interesting stuff.
Well, I think that's really inspirational. So, like April said, it's a whole different approach and thing to talk about on our podcast because a lot of people say, well, you know, at some point they're, and I guess we're speaking about codependency too. So, because that's a huge thing. We just did a podcast with Jason Gaddis, who has the Relationship School podcast, and we both, he has a term codependent-ish, and it's a huge issue in relationships where we're like, I'm not okay on my own. My worth is based on being with someone else and how I caretake them and how I show up for them and then I'm okay. But if I'm alone, I'm broken, I'm going to freak the fuck out. Life is going to fall apart. And so you hit a point where you're like, I've been living my whole life like this. This is not okay. I need to finally at age X, Y, or whatever it is, and if you need to figure out who I am. Fuck these motherfuckers. I'm going to go and do my own thing. And I don't know if I'm going to revisit being with other people because I like that. What a compliment to have someone say, wow, you do single better than anyone I've ever seen.
It was unbelievable.
Because I think for a lot of folks who are afraid of being single and alone, they're like, they can't imagine
that. That sounds scary to a lot of people. Being single sounds scary, especially in these isolated, we're in an age of isolation, right? Especially, you know, it's starting to shift. But so can you talk about how to be single?
But do you identify as single or just celibate? Like, is it where
celibate?
Both, I guess. I mean, the fact is, well, here's how I feel. I feel COVID was actually really easy for me. Thank God I didn't lose anybody. But COVID was easy for me because I love being alone so much. And I hadn't had that before age 50. And I'm like, oh my God, this is really cool. You get to feel your feelings. You don't have to, you know, ask anyone what they want to eat or what they want to do or what they want to watch. And I think it's different. I don't like when women or men are like, I'm not dating, fuck those bitches. It's really a lack of judging other people. It's not saying, oh, I don't like this guy or this thing. It's saying, I think on my own, it feels really right. So I think I was trying to twist myself into being in relationships for all those years. And I was like, oh, this is how it was supposed to happen. It's like with comedy. I retired from comedy 3 years ago. It has been one of the best decisions of my life. So it's almost like getting rid of and decluttering the stuff that wasn't working, that I was just so on autopilot that I'm like, oh, if I really step back and start noticing, having a boyfriend doesn't work for me. Doing stand-up anymore doesn't work for me. Having certain friends fall off is good. Decluttering from, you know, three places to live, four places to live, to having one place to live. So you almost just start notice what's not working and stopping it. But it did take all that work and all that therapy and all those, you know, different workshops.
And a millennial sandwich.
And a millennial sandwich.
A big, giant millennial sandwich.
Well, these guys do add, like, a straight guy energy, straight-ish when it comes to Nick, because we're not sure what's going on there. Come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Nick. Yeah,
like that. Fun.
Yes. He's very free in his body. It's odd. But they really do add up an element of fun. And I was like, oh man, straight guys are fine. It's just the right ones. And I don't have to sort of mince my words with them. I don't have to edit myself with these kind of people. And I think with dating, I always felt like I had to twist myself a little, and just having friends, to me at least, feels so much better. So it is a choice. But it's also, if you just notice what you don't like, you don't have to do it anymore. That's what people forget. You have to become a noticer of your own life. So I think once I noticed that, I was like, oh, this is great.
So you're not minimizing any sexual tension between you and Bo and Nick at any moment? It's not like, oh.
I'm their aunt. Yes, Bo and him have definitely sexual tension. They have made out, which I think is, you have to listen to the podcast and see.
Whoa!
That. Well, they haven't actually made out.
On video?
Close.
Or
playing gay chicken. Oh. Get close and then I back away.
Yeah, it's like Nick's a tease. He's a tease.
Nick, you little tease.
You are. I mean, it's cute though, because I think it's so great when straight guys can actually be vulnerable like that and just joke about that. You know, because there'll be so many guys who are so repressed and so toxic and bro-y that they can't joke. And these guys at least can be like, hey, we love each other. You know, at the end of our podcast, we're always like, we love us. And it's just like, yeah, because we're just kind of, there you go, chicken. See, Bo always punks out earlier.
Like, they're about to make out behind her head right now. So, okay, what do you guys think about hearing Lisa say, like, you know what, I don't need sex. I'm totally, what happens in your bodies when you hear that? Are you like, how is that possible? Like, I mean, can you imagine that for yourselves, that you would ever be at that point? Does it seem like some crazy story? Do you believe her? You're like, what do you think about it?
I definitely believe her, and I think it's awesome, honestly, because, you know, like, as a dude, like, you know, like, you gotta wake up every day and you gotta think about yanking yourself off. And it's just like, at what point is this gonna be over? You know, like, how much longer do I need to have these feelings and need to go, you know,
full bush,
get on some chick and ruin her day? Like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, so it's yeah, I mean, you don't want to be bothering people with your problems all the time. So I appreciate
your hard
Lisa's
dick.
View, and I think it's very evolved, and I think that sex is shameful. I don't agree with your thought.
Shut up, you do not.
I heard that you're all in love and stuff and having the
sex. Yeah,
sexes.
What's up with this? That we heard you're in love. So what's going on?
No, I'm recently happy, which is nice. And I'm seeing a lady. And I actually, so we just started having sex.
So are you wanking? Yes or no? Just kidding.
are you still baiting?
I still got to do that on top of that. It's never enough. I mean, come on.
I'm here.
She's not taking care of everything. I still need the big guy to give me rub downs. So. But anyways, you know, we just started having sex a few weeks ago, and it was tough in the beginning. I was very nervous because I wanted her to be happy, and I wanted her to you know, think that I was good at the sex. And so it was difficult. Like, I get a lot of performance anxiety in the beginning, you know, but then when I get comfortable with someone like Nick here, you know, that can really – give him a couple, 2-3 poundings. You know, it's a nice time.
2-3-4
Yeah, yeah. But no, the beginning was tough. It was definitely hard to, or not hard for that, come up with a word. But you know.
How did you learn how to drop into that? What changed? Did you get out of your head into your body, or what shifted to help you get into this sexual mode with your new partner?
Or just stay hard all of a sudden, or get hard.
Honesty.
So it's all about honesty. It's all about being really honest with the partner that you're with. For me, it's usually about telling them and going, hey, you know, I feel very nervous and I'm excited because I really like you. By the way, if I'm having sex with somebody that I don't like, I'm fine. I'm not going to be nervous or anything. Like, it's fine. But if it's somebody that I really, really like, then I have to tell them. I go, hey, you know, I'm nervous because I'm excited. And so it might take a little while and we might have to, you know, do a little foreplay here. And, you know, first night might not be the best. And then, you know, it slowly gets better. But I think it's really just about being honest and being comfortable in your own skin with that person and just, you know, giving yourself time. You know, it's like any sort of panic attack. It's like, it's not going to last forever. I'm in a state of fear and it's going to pass and I just have to be honest and like really be vulnerable in that moment and it'll get easier.
Not to mention, sometimes with new partners, that is, thank you. That's incredible. I think an incredible, vulnerable share. And sometimes with new partners, you're also, there's the, condom factor, because hopefully people are practicing safety, because that is a thing that hopefully is happening when you just met someone, unless you're showing your STID test on your phone. Like, I just got this yesterday. Here's my STID test. I'm good.
STIDs.
But it's like putting a condom on can be kind of like this thing, especially in my experience before, it's like killed the mood and I'm like, damn it. But I
know
the
shrink wrap on the dick sometimes can kill the sensation too.
So there's God. Well, and you the know conversation what? About safety too is not.
She's right. Yeah. That is really something I like that I don't ever have to deal with again, you know? And I always had long-term boyfriends. I always was a serial monogamist, so it wasn't really that much of an issue. But what really helped Bo, I think, is that he practices putting them on Nick in the studio on the podcast. So let's say have a routine before we start taping, condom goes on Nick, and then it's
just
all set.
Just in case, you never know.
Nick, what do you feel? What are you as vulnerable as him when it comes to sex? Like, you're that open about it with women.
Nick, are you still having a hard time having the orgasms from the blowjobs still? Like, what's up in blowjob world over there?
Oh, dude, things have been going well in that department for a little while, so thank you. I'm cured. But, yeah, no, I definitely have performance anxiety as well. Like, there's no doubt. I think as a guy, and like, you guys could tell me if I'm wrong, but like, most of the pressure's on us, I would say. Mm-hmm. I would say most of the pressure's on us.
Yeah.
And, I found myself even getting upset if I don't perform the way I like, which I'm just like, and I get so sad about it. And especially if it's with someone I like. So I've been trying to...
You're pointing up Bo.
Like, yeah, what?
Yeah, with Bo. Yeah. I've been trying to be more in the moment and, like, just more enjoying, like, this time. Like, this is great, especially if you really, like you said, like, if you like somebody, it's a whole different thing, right? It just is. So mm-hmm. I've been trying to be more in the moment, more calm. I used to be, you know, back in the day, I was such a bro. I was just like... Dude, I could go all night, hard, fast. I'm going to do it. And it's like, now it's like, all right, man, let's fucking calm down. Like, enjoy it. Take your time, all that stuff. And just be open with the person. Just like Bo said, I can't agree more.
I just can't imagine.
So we're still taking applications for Nick.
Yes. I can't imagine what men have to go through, really, because it is kind of on them to maintain a certain physical state. And the thing is, I've seen both these guys do comedy, and honestly, I'm not making a joke. No. They are very tough on themselves when they come off stage and even like one joke hasn't worked. So I think that's a personality type. I think they beat them up. Nick had a show last week and like two of the jokes didn't get what he wanted, which doesn't mean they bombed. They just didn't get what he wanted. So he was really upset. He really was sad about it, which I think is great. Allow yourself the feelings and to be sad. So I can only imagine that's a million times worse when it comes to an intimate relationship. So I think they have to be, and men in general have to be a little more gentle on themselves and say, you know what, it's not all on me. And if I'm just honest about it from the start, I can't beat myself up. It's like anything else. If we bomb, we can't beat ourselves up in any aspect of life.
Well, this 100%, Lisa, I want to propose a scenario, though, for both Bo and Nick and anyone out there that resonates with what that conversation was between the how I need to perform or have to perform. Remember something, and we've talked about this so much in Shameless Sex, each individual is in charge of their own sexuality, and they also are in charge of their own pleasure, setting the boundaries and pushing off. But what if, and I'm going to lay the scenario off, so we know that, that's set aside, that's something that we support in Shameless Sex, like you are in control of your own sexuality. But what if, let's say, you know, you get a chick that just knows what she wants. She's like, yo, Nick, lick my pussy right now. Stick your finger in this far and go around, flip me around. I want to do like a little, like a dance, and I want you to like slap my ass. Would you be, and you were into her before anything happened, would that be a turn on, or would you be like, this bitch crazy?
Sounds like a turn on to me, but yeah, it sounds like a turn on to me. You know, it's that was aggressive. I enjoyed it. That was very nice. I appreciate that.
Well, and, but does it bring up like your masculinity issues, like your not enoughness thing? Because I think there's this pressure on the, we're talking about the pressure on the penis owning individuals in heterosexual relationships, is that they need to be the end all, the provider for everything. And that if the vulva owner is like, hey, can I have more of this, less of this? This isn't working for me. And this really does work for me. Then the story that they get is, I'm wrong. I'm bad. I'm not good at this. I was supposed to be born knowing everything. My dick should don't be the end all. Why do you need the vibrator and all those things? And so I guess the question is like, you know, does that ever come up for you still? Was that part of the story before? And understandingly so, I mean, I know that vulva owners, we have our own story about that, but is that kind of part of the story, that the pressure that you feel?
I would want, you know, more open and communicate on everything. Just say it, communicate, sex stuff, normal, anything else. I would want that from my partner regardless. So no, not at all. That wouldn't affect my ego. Yeah. I just like to know.
I don't think it would affect my ego. But I think I like to be more the dominant person, and I also like to kind of lead, in a sense, sexually. So if a girl is like overly, that can kind of, not that I don't think it has anything to do with ego. I think I'm more just a sensitive guy, and I get nervous by intense kind of, because that's like a masculine almost trait, to be very like, this is what I want, give it to me right now. And I think that I would feel, I would, you know, kind of clam up, you know, I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, I'll try, you know, and I would feel scared that I wouldn't rise to that occasion, right? You know, but so I think I like to be
so more about, I might not be able to meet your needs.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and those are two different, very juxtapositions between you and Nick, and how you both would receive a person with that much direction, right? A vulva owning human that came out and was saying it tends to be more dominant, and that might for Bo be a little scary, because you're like, whoa, I want to take the reins and I want to have all of this penis owning power to perform, and I want to show you my skills. And Nick might be oh hell yeah, I like the direction.
So if I was fucking Bo, though, Bo, if you and I were fucking and I was giving you a whole bunch of direction and then you kind of like clammed up, for me as someone who's done a lot of work around sexuality, I would, instead of just being like, oh, okay, now. And again, actually, maybe, actually, this is not fully true. I might just shut down and be like, oh, it's not safe for me to voice my needs because look at what's happening. This person now is going through a whole process and I'm too much. Or the evolved Amy might be like, oh, that was a lot for you to receive, me asking for my needs. Let's talk about this. Is it the way I'm saying it? Is there a more gentle way? What's coming up for you when I say it? Because I think what we're dealing with is in heterosexual relationships, and hence, and we'll bring Lisa into this, why she's like, I'm done fucking the cock right now, is we're dealing with a lot of caretaking of other people's needs. And it's happening on all sides. It's not just like women doing it for men or men doing it for women, and we're speaking of heterosexuality. It's not safe for me to voice this because when I voice it, X happens. They stop fucking me. They leave. They're insecure. It ruined the connection, so I'm not going to do it again. I think that there's, that's a huge issue that we're looking at here. And so I want to, as we have these conversations about Nick over here, like, just bring it on. Tell me everything you want. And Bo's like, you know, sometimes as the dominant person, it can be a lot, which there's room for both of those. And Lisa's like, fuck all that. I don't want to take any of that shit on. I'm good over here. You know, I would say this, I think just highlighting that we all have these different experiences, that someone's reaction to us voicing our needs is not our job to take on. We are not doing anything wrong unless, of course, we're being mean or malicious. And instead, we can get curious. Oh, I voiced my needs. Energy changed. Let's check this out a little bit. I don't know. What do you think about that, Lisa? Someone who's now like, I'm done with that shit.
Well, I mean, I used to have tough enough time asking a husband or a boyfriend to take out the garbage, much less slap it and spin it around and all that shit. So I was just like, oh, I can't ask this fucking... I mean, obviously my picker was off. I picked the wrong men. And yes, the last few weren't evil, but I didn't pick the right guys. But I even find it hard with friends to ask them to split the check. So basically you're talking about asking for what you want or need without being demanding in a pejorative way is very tough. And I think I personally think, like the way Bo was like, oh, you know, I feel intimidated and stuff like that. I think if it's asked correctly and isn't just, you know, said in just a brusque way and a hardcore way, I think most of us could get our heads around that that's okay. But I think it's a very tough thing to navigate and negotiate. So again, it's a mystery to me. And again, who knows if that'll ever change?
That's why we have a job.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys do this.
Lisa, but I'm curious. You're such a boss. You basically threw the whip, cracked the whip, I should say. At yes. Nick and Bo, were like, no, you guys need to jump on this train. And you said it's hard for you to even ask friends to split a check. Like, mm-hmm. But you're such a boss. Like, I was like, you commanded this. This cast right from the beginning, I was like, oh, this bitch is awesome. I love
well,
it.
Well, real life
so,
is
just saying,
one thing.
I'm surprised by this.
Sure. Real life is one thing, I think. And I think intimate relationships are another. So I think you'll probably have heard a million times from women that I'm a boss in the job, but then in the bedroom, I like being, you know, have rape fantasies or I have to be submissive. And I love that shit. That's what a lot of women are into. So I think those are such hard things to reconcile, and you just have to go with it and go, you know, I think that's why I'm a boss when it comes to business. You don't get famous and get be on TV and on these really difficult TV shows. I was on Celebrity Apprentice. I was on the Comedy Central roast for years. Those are hard things. You can't be a badass like that. And then it usually doesn't translate to then in the bedroom, you're the dominatrix. You want the opposite. So that's very vulnerable and hard to ask for too. So I think what it comes down to is sex is just difficult. I don't think it's easy for anyone. I think in the beginning it's fun and easy. Then the honeymoon phase ends and then you have to go, oh, we have to negotiate this, what works for both of us. So it's a particular challenge that I'm not up to anymore, but you know, I'm happy for people who can get it right. It's a very difficult and vulnerable position to be in.
Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast was made possible by Uberlube. It's a luxurious silicone lubricant that enhances sex and intimacy. We receive emails from listeners who have tried Uberlube, and the feedback is unanimous. We never knew lube could be this good. It's also less likely to throw off the pH than most other lubes, and there are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients, whether they want to make their hot sex even hotter or for folks experiencing dryness.
Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube. It has no flavor, no scent, and feels absolutely amazing on my body. And it isn't just for sex. I use it to tame my hair frizzies, to prevent chafing, and I even put some in my mouth before an oral sex session. Totally ups my blowjob game. Oh, and the bottle, it's beautiful. It looks like a cosmetic product, so I just leave it out on my nightstand totally shamelessly. To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off plus free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off and free shipping.
This podcast was also made possible by omgs.com. OMGS is a research-based online program that teaches you all about how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied thousands of vulva owners to find out how they orgasm and then made beautiful animated modules and super honest short videos to give you ways to reach even more pleasure. I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's been changing their lives.
We all know pleasure is fluid and ever-changing, so why not add more tools to your pleasure tool belt? OMGS is for everyone, so whether you are a vulva owner or you just love vulvas, OMGS will give you the techniques to get your O-face on. There are two seasons to choose from and hundreds of gorgeous videos to explore, so go see what science says about pleasure and visit omgs.com/shameless. That's omgs.com/shameless to get $5 off your OMGS access. Again, omgs.com/shameless. Go check it out. Now back to the show.
I'm going to take this on just a twist here because I think we're talking about sex and the pressure of it. So we have these mutual friends. I don't know if we share this with Nick when we recorded. I'm not sure. But instead of saying blowjob, because they're like, why is it a job? No one wants to fucking do a job to give pleasure to their partner. They coined the term a blowy.
A blobby.
So it's a hobby, but it's a blowjob. But instead, it's a blob. At least
it sounds
just throwing
it
up
sounds like what a blob, like a blob of ejaculate comes out, and then it's a big mess again to clean up. Why am I always cleaning? I just feel like it's a job no matter what. I am shocked. I used to have a joke in my act where it was like, no woman wants to give a blowjob. It is just fucking horrible. You're choking. You're gasping. It's not good. And no woman likes to give a handy either. I think they're all liars. And I'm like, you're all whores. No, I just don't even understand why as a celebrity I should have to work hard. I would say that to my ex-husband all the time. I'd be like, you know what? I earn all the money. You get to live in like a $3 million house because of me. Get in, get out. Don't let the door hit you on the way. It's just very, I shouldn't have to work at that too. And I'm sure you hear that, by the way. I know I'm making light of it, but I'm sure you hear from working moms and things like that, that, oh my God, how much more do I have to fucking do for this asshole? So until I cannot say
well,
those
about,
things.
Well, what about asking him for a handy for you? Be like, yo, kind of.
Can I
get a little bit of a handy right now? Yeah. I want my vulva rubbed a little bit.
Well, like I said, I wasn't exactly, my picker was off, so I wasn't picking the most versatile, agile people either. So I think I need gay guys to teach any guy I date what to do. Because I once had a gay guy teach me how to give a hummer, which I thought was terrific, because I liked it to end quickly. So I said, Wendell, the gay, I said, he was one of my best friends growing up, in my 30s. I said, dude, how do you guys do this blowy so it ends quickly? And he goes, honey, you do this twisty thing. And so you're doing like this. Wow, that's a meme, isn't it? You do like this and then it's over faster. So thank God for the gays or I wouldn't have had quick blowjobs in my past. You're welcome.
You're welcome. To all the listeners listening who are like, thank God she finally said that. I'm so sick of giving blowjobs. You're welcome. And to all the penis owners who are like, I can't believe she just said that. She ruined all this. Well, we're sorry. To all the people who like sucking dick, such as myself, I'm in Edward's different experiences for everyone. I know April kind of, April actually just had jizz in her mouth for the first time this last year, I think. I'm pretty sure. Before that, you went through,
I know, it's not in our shared calendar like everything else, so I don't remember.
We have her analiversary and her yeast infection anniversary in our shared calendar, but not her jizz in her mouth anniversary. We got to add that in there and figure it out.
I don't remember the date.
But you had a strong boundary on it. Like, it's something that I just am not turned on by.
I was probably 38, right? Right. Yeah. The first time I ever had.
And it was just not a thing that you were interested in.
It was something that
doing.
It was a hard no for me. And it was something that I couldn't give you an exact reason why. I just knew that it wasn't for me at the time. And then I actually had
Jizz in your mouth.
Some jizz in my mouth. And I was like, oh, okay, I could do this. And it's still, I still have a psychological block about it until it happens. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I can do this.
No, I love that.
It doesn't feel like a job to me, right? But yeah.
Well, you know, we have on our podcast, Nick just broke his jizz in the ass virginity. So we're kind of happy about that.
In his own ass?
Yeah. So we're just kidding.
We got to. Oh, I was like, whoa, we got to talk about
this. Was it Bo's jizz?
Yes, of course it was.
Bo can't reach.
No, I like, though, that you did do it when you were ready. Because I think a lot of times women especially feel some pressure to be do it before they're ready in any respect, in any part of sex or life or dating. Like I said, I was a quote unquote late bloomer. I waited. My poor boyfriend in high school, I didn't even think people had sex till marriage because we were Catholic. So that poor guy probably had the bluest balls ever. And sure, I sent him a check when I got rich as an apology. But the fact is, we didn't do it till I was ready. So I'm proud of you that you didn't either. I think those boundaries are important. And I will say, if I ever do date again, I'm going to learn from these guys and really lead with honesty and say, look, I'm not used to attracting the right man. I'm going to go super slow. I'm not great at dating. I'm only good at talking and telling the truth. So we're going to go really slow. And if that's okay, great. If not, that's okay. You know, that's fine too. It'll just have to be each person dealing with the truth of the other person.
I think you should talk to us first, actually.
Oh, come to us?
You come to Amy and April, and then you can talk
to
Nick and
Bo. So we're Lisa and Nick's managers on the dating world.
Thank you.
Bo, you're in a relationship, so you're cool now. But if you're ever single again, now you're managers for any time that you're a free spirits in the dating market. It all has to go through us. We'll be like, I don't know about
who's qualifying to date Lisa. We will find out. Yeah. We will be very critical.
Yeah.
We'll make sure they are going to honor all of your needs when you're ready.
Let me ask you this, because I really...
You don't have to swallow that cum.
Oh, thank you, God. I don't need the calories. I want to ask you both about something, though, that's very important. I think you ladies have a good perspective. Be honest. Don't be all just saying what's politically correct. Do you feel... Because I feel it's super gross because of my age. I feel it is so gross when there's a huge age gap when one is dating. For instance, I know this is horribly politically incorrect. I'm very woke. I'm the world's oldest millennial. I get it. But when I see like an 80-year-old lesbian, and I'm thinking of one celebrity couple, one's 80 and one's 50. And I instantly go to, okay, that's really weird and gross and mommy complex, and that clam is dry. What do you think? Do you truly embrace all age differences? Because I think maybe, I know for me it would be weird. I love when I date someone within like months of my birth, but do you think any age is okay?
I would say what, okay, because the why people choose relationships, I would be like, okay, but so what is here driving this? Is it just true alignment? We really just like, we're just something about our energy and the way we touch, or maybe touch isn't important. I'm talking about a dry clam over there. So maybe touch isn't important to the dry clam. And so I found someone else where touch isn't important and we get along in all these other ways. So I'd be curious about that. But then I think what people think is gold digger. Is it about money? Is it about power? Is it because they're really good looking? Is it, you know, what are the reasons why? And there's so many reasons why people choose people. And so age, I think, it puts a huge gap. As someone who had, I guess you could say I kind of was a little bit reboundy after my last 5.5 year relationship, but also like healed me in a lot of ways. He's 20 years older than me. So I was, 34 at the time. He was 54. He was kinky as fuck. Like, I can tell you some of the things, as someone who identifies as a kinky person, like he was kinky 5.0, and I learned and experienced and did a lot of things that were very edgy for me, and I'm really grateful for them. And some of them was like, yeah, I don't really want to do that one again. He was totally 100% consensual, by the way. But we never stood a chance because there was such a difference between us in there and just in like, and I can't even describe the ways of what it was, because there's so many ways where we did get along and connect. But it just, I think even for me, it was just like, can't imagine being 60 and you're 80.
Was it because the text on his iPhone was the size of like each letter was like the giant? I can read it from across the room.
I had to put his glasses on to look at that huge text already. No, so that's a judgment thing. And whereas I have a friend who I just saw who lives in Southern California, who is with someone who I believe is close to 20 years her age. And it makes sense. Mm-hmm. He also is the most youthful 50-something-year-old I've ever met. So she's like 30, he's 50-ish. And so it makes sense. They're married now. He already has two kids from a previous marriage. So I guess it just depends.
I want to speak to this a little bit. No, you Lisa first, because
it's going to be way more entertaining.
It's going to be more entertaining, and then I'll speak to it.
No, I'm just getting all the knowledge I can from you guys while I have you. I think for me, it would probably be a 10-year difference I could get my head around somewhat. But it's really my whole career, it's been the income being so different. And I think that for me, if I was to date anyone, it would have to be someone who had his definitely was equal or more income than I have. I just think that's a lot of, there's a lot of shame associated for me with dating someone who I have to treat. And, you know, it's just like, I mean, as silly as it is, we have our little podcast meetings once a week. And, you know, these guys generally are, like, grab the check. And yes, it's $40 at a diner, but it's still a totemistic thing, a nice thing that a guy does to go, hey, man, you're helping us out with this podcast and we're going to grab the check. So there's something about the fact that I've had to treat men I'm dating for so many years. And there's a lot of shame in that. And it feels bad. So I think that's what I would have a harder time getting my head around.
Well, I'll put a twist on it, because for me, I've been in a position of power and money making in a lot of my relationships. And it always felt good to be like, I'm going to actually take advantage of being able to treat you. I will say, for a lot of times between when I was divorced and when I was in my singledom, I always attracted the younger dudes that were between 10 to 5 years younger. And I believe that, in my opinion, penis owners tend to mature more slowly mm-hmm. than vulva owners out there, like 5 years. This is my opinion, by the way. There's no science behind it. But I was always feeling like I was, and I'm not a mother, nor have I ever wanted to be a mother. I have my dog and that's it. And I felt like these dudes wanted to sort of tap into my maternal, like, caretaking abilities, because I was like, oh, I'll grab this check, or oh, I'll take
a great cook.
Yeah,
too.
I'll get us a room at the Ritz this weekend, and you know, let's go stay and hang out for a couple of days.
Yeah, Nick's all hands up. And he's like, I'm signing up for that.
Where do I sign?
I've been dating a partner that is almost 15 years older than me, and the attraction there was, he already had children, had already been married. So I knew those things that I also were not calling into my life were not on the table. And I was like, great, because all of the younger people or my age group wanted those things from me, or they thought they could change me into that. So I was like, oh, there's a benefit to being with someone that's already experienced that and is good with that. Also, for me, and I'll speak for myself, a lot of in my experience, the people that have a more sexual experience can kind of show you some things if they're tapped into their sexuality that you can actually learn from them. I learned more about my own sexuality through my partnership with my previous partner than I have ever learned before. And that also could be because of myself. But I do believe there is something to say about the experience that he had over me and in his life. So I think it's person to person.
Yeah.
I don't shame people for dating younger people or older people. Sometimes I'm like, at the very beginning of our show, I said,
I was fucking her ex-partner, but they weren't together yet.
Oh, okay.
They were not together yet. So this person that she later dated, I had sex with twice. Her already tried it out. You know, and we had this whole thing about how April was like, and when we start our podcast, if you listen to episode 1 or 2, you hear her talk about how she wants to try an OD. It's an old dick. And she was like, I really want to try an OD. And and we had some joke about the NAARP card.
AARP.
God damn it. I'm getting it wrong. So an OD with an AARP card. And it was a joke. You know, we're joking about it. But I had said, you know, here's this person that I had sex with a couple couple times, and then I now am back with my ex-partner, and it was great. You know, he treated me really well, and he's a great person, and I sent in a letter of recommendation for this person, and then they got into a relationship, but she did want to date someone or have this experience with someone who was older. She was looking for it. We don't know what an OD really stood for. Like, what did that mean? Was it someone over 60, 50?
Yeah, we didn't have a definition for it. And honestly, I think that a person that's 60 could really be physically and even emotionally younger or older, right? You could be 65, you could be 80, and you could have just like, I want to be that 80-year-old fucking hot bitch at the beach with a bikini and a thong, still rocking it like a golden girl. Like, yeah, that's what's up, yo. Yeah, you want some of this?
Well,
so
probably...
I'm not going to shut my pussy off anytime soon.
I think you could probably be that. And I think, you know, nursing homes are hotbeds of sexual activity and STDs, which is something that I'm looking forward to. Because if I haven't gotten herpes by the time I'm 80, at least I want to try once. So, you know, I mean, you never know. But I think I just am super judgy because everything I see on TV that I'm like, oh, like they're about the same age and that's so cute. And I think I have a fantasy built up in my head about that's how it's supposed to be when clearly it's not supposed to be any specific way. So these are all just things to work on and figure out. I like age, what I feel is age appropriate, income appropriate, you know, and status in life. Like, I like it if a guy isn't really stupid. Like, I'm really fucking smart. Like, I went to 3 Ivy League schools for like 6 weeks each. I'm really smart. So they're going to have to deal with that. I can't date a dummy, and I've dated dummies and it never works.
But income is not sustainable and money comes and goes. So that's why you really do want to, if you want to invest yourself into a relationship with someone and you're really, I want marriage or whatever the paperwork is, remember money can come and go.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, of course.
It's not, that's a fluid thing.
Same with also in physique too. Like, physique, I'm so attractive. You have the most beautiful face ever. And someone gets in a car accident or, you know, they have a stroke or something, you know, anything's possible. So there's pretty much most aspects of our being can change other than maybe like our ultimate essence of who we are as a person, how we show up. But then trauma can shift that too. So,
of course,
you know,
I mean, I guess I drink too much and I look like I had a stroke. So that counts.
Well, I think when somebody...
The more she drinks, the better she looks. At
she
least
looks
my
fantastic.
Head.
Well, I think if I ever had a guy and he had a stroke and a car accident, I just have to cheat on him with a younger, better looking guy because I'm rich. So I could get that. So I also, this is what you do. If your guy has a stroke, have your assistant break up with them. I think that's the moral of it, is always have an assistant who'll make that phone call. That's a ride or die bitch right there. Just saying.
Is that so? Yeah. These are ride or die bitches. Okay, so let's talk because we're running out of time.
Oh,
here.
Yes.
So you got your ride or die bitches next to you, your assistants who are going to break up with all of your future people when you go get herpes in the old folks' home when you're 80. And I'm so glad you're finally someday maybe going to experience syphilis and herpes. So, how do people who have been like, this is so entertaining here listening to these people, and whether they're going to talk about sex or not sex, but wow, this is so much fun, how do they continue to spend time with you, hang out with you, listen to your podcast? Be with you. You said you retired. I'm doing air quotes here because you're clearly doing comedy at this moment, but you're a retired comedian. So you're just not doing stand-up anymore.
Right. I retired from stand-up 3 years ago, but I am doing this podcast because, you know, retirement's difficult in that you don't know what your identity is anymore. So you sort of had this whole thing going and you had your big fame and your nickname and your, you know, being asked to be on all these shows. And then suddenly you say, I'm out. And start taking care of yourself emotionally. And then you're like, oh, who am I? So when the podcast came along, this podcast we put together called Losers with the Dream, I was like, oh, this is right. This feels just fun. So everything I do now, if it isn't fun, I don't do it. I mean, down to the littlest things in life. So where they can find us, Lisa Lampanelli, Bo McDowell, and Nick Scopoletti do a podcast once a week called Losers with a Dream. It is on Spotify, YouTube, and iTunes, everywhere you find your podcast. And it's really freaking enjoyable. Like, I love how you gals were talking because we could both have deep meaning in this conversation, but also have fun. Because, like you said, I'm not really retired from being funny, just retired from standing up and making a living at it. I'd rather kind of go broke doing something fun than stand up and do something that is no longer fun for me. So find us and look for us on Instagram because we're there too.
Yeah, so Losers with a Dream, everyone, go check it out. And I also just want to link this back to the sex piece. Sex should be fun and sex should be ridiculous sometimes and awkward and goofy and silly. And we make mistakes or say something ridiculous or all of a sudden, you know, my nip popped out or I queefed or something.
Maybe your cock didn't get hard when you wanted to, or maybe you're not getting as wet as you want to.
Yeah, didn't get hard.
Let's laugh.
Let's have fun with it. And like, and just be in, and allow ourselves to all be in different places at different times from day to day. And let's go and check out Losers with a Dream at, what's your website? Is loserswithadream.com?
Follow Lisa Lampanelli, Nick Scopes, or Bo McDowell Comedy. You'll find us and just Google and you'll see us right there.
And we'll link all of those things on our website as well. And Lisa, I'm happy that you chose to stay in the game, out of the game, and you didn't like just go to do golf all over the world or something in your retirement. You actually are doing something with your wit and your charm and your humor and your millennial sandwich, because I had so much fucking fun hanging out with you guys. You all, thank you for being a part of the Shameless Sex Revolution, because you are. And we love you. We love each and every one of you. We love you three right there that I'm looking at on this thing. And we love all of our Shameless Sex listeners. But I can't close out a Shameless Sex episode without thanking our sponsor, our wine sponsor, MarginsWine.com. Go check it out. We are talking about boutique small batch wine. And if you want to save some money, go to MarginsWine.com and use coupon code ShamelessSex10 to save 10% on three or more bottles. And if you want to buy six or more bottles, the holidays are coming. Everybody needs to drink during the holidays.
They're coming
just as hard as Amy on a Saturday night. You use code SHAMELESSSEX15 to save 15% on six or more bottles. MarginsWine.com, y'all. Thank you. Go ahead. Rate us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. We read every single review. It helps more people find beautiful people like Lisa and Bo and Nick and Amy and Legend and Perry. They're our dogs. They're not on the show, but we love them too. We love each and every one of you. We will see you next Tuesday. Ciao for now.
Bye.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com.
And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.